the Joint Committee on Ways and Means to order. And what we're going to do, since I don't have a quorum, is going to just start right off with the public hearing on House Bill 3108 and 3534. With that, I'll open the public hearing on both those bills. And Paul, could you get me the signer first?
Certainly.
So this is a sub.
Sub with the sub.
Got one person on one of the two bills.
Okay. Roger Martin, you're just in time. You're the only one. I may just say, if anyone else wants to testify, we need you to sign on the sign-up sheet over on the table.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Roger Martin. I represent Pacific Seafood, and I just wanted to add, we have not as yet been involved in all the negotiations went on this. I know that a lot of work's been into it. We strongly support the efforts in the portion that applies to the commercial fishing and how this whole issue affects the commercial fishing industry. We are doing the best we can to try to be supportive of the fishermen. We do buy fish from outside of the state of Oregon. But the main people we rely on are very much affected by this, and we heartily support the bill and would like to do whatever possible to help.
Excuse me, Roger, which bill are you?
3534. Okay. And I spoke to Representative Krieger. There's apparently an amendment on the second bill that has to do with krill.
Yes.
And to my knowledge, I've tried to identify, I don't think there's a commercial fishery on that. It doesn't have any effect on us. He'd ask if we had a concern about it, and I don't think we do.
Okay. That's it?
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just a minute. Any questions? Oh. Comments? Questions?
I'm off easy.
Thank you. Anyone else care to testify on House Bill 3108 or 3534? I think we'll go into recess and wait for the rest of our committee to show up, and then we'll have the staff report.
Good idea.
Yes.
We are now a. We did. Well, I mean, except we didn't do the his report. We now have a quorum, so we are a subcommittee as opposed to a sub of a sub. And we will open a work session on the Department of Agriculture federal grant application. Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, you have at your place a packet that at the top of which has a memo. The rest of the information you've seen before, as you've heard this grant request before, to summarize what's in the memo states that when we last left off, staff was charged with looking into the timing issues surrounding the federal grant application requests. We've been in contact with a USDA veterinarian who explained the timeline and the confusion over when the grant request was required. Evidently, the USDA representative misunderstood when the grant would be required to be received, and as he got into the office just about when the first deadline was to meet, he sent out information saying everyone put in your grant applications, but in fact that was for one piece of a program if you were going to be involved in a Yoni's disease project with any large university or institution, which this is not one of. So, in essence, the bottom line is the department has a while to apply for these dollars. There was no April 28th deadline, and in fact, the money is waiting for the department to apply for it. It has already submitted its work plan, and once it submits a formal application, I believe that the funding will be given to the department expeditiously. I'd also like to point out that part of my understanding of the reason for this kind of confusion is that because the federal fiscal year 03 budget was completed so late in the federal fiscal year, federal agencies are under a lot of pressure to get grant funding out the door, now that they know what the set amounts are, before the next fiscal year starts. So I imagine that this will not be the only one where it looked, at least initially, in this case it wasn't true, but it looked like there was a very short timeline to get an application in for the grant. And this is also true of some of the grant requests from the Environmental Protection Agencies I've been seeing lately. And it could be that you will be seeing more grant requests with very short timelines because of what happened with the federal budget. So I wanted to make the subcommittee aware of that. Given that we're going to be in work sessions on budgets, the subcommittee may want to consider relaxing a bit its concern about retroactive application, particularly if an agency is given a week or two to submit an application. It will be very hard to get an application through the process and in front of you in time, as well as coordinated with all the work sessions we're going to be doing on budget. So just wanted to bring that to the attention of the subcommittee.
Hey, are we ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair. I move that the committee recommend to the full committee that the grant request for the Department of Ag be granted.
You've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion? Let me have a question, I guess. So this problem should not surface in the future then, or the chances of it will be much less?
I believe that the chances of having a problem, this in this case, there wasn't actually a problem with a short timeline, but I believe that in the future there will be some issues with short timelines on federal grant applications because of the pressure that the federal agencies are under to get this funding on the ground. Given the uncertainty, they couldn't proceed without knowing what the budget was, and when the budget was finally set, now they're trying to expedite the process, I believe.
Okay. Any other discussion? Senator Dix? Okay. Any objection? Motion carries. And
Senator Messerly, I think that we should assign this bill for carrying the bill to Representative Johnson. She's agreed to carry all
words,
the bills that relate to
the words right out of my mouth. There's an inside joke here, folks. Okay, with that, we'll close the work session. And we're in recess on House Bill 3108 and 3534. We'll go back into public hearing on those. And Representative Krieger, did you want to present these? Or would you like staff to present your bills?
Let the staff do it, and I can make some comments. I'll give you a brief overview. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, first, House Bill 3108, you have in front of you a packet of information, beginning with a staff measure summary that has details on a number of proposed committee amendments that you may wish to discuss as the committee proceeds. The essence of this bill is it would require a limited entry permit for certain species of nearshore fish, and would also increase the ad valorem tax on those species to provide funding for research, is my understanding of the measure. Behind the staff measure summary is a copy of the fiscal impact. And this is a preliminary fiscal impact on the -A6 amendments. My understanding of the -A6 amendments is that they would delay implementation of ad valorem increase until January 1 of 2005. The reason for the delay is that the department, under the original bill, would have been required to make the change by January 1 of 04. And the department, of course, as you know, will be in the midst of moving to Salem over the course of the next few months, including moving their information systems to Salem. And with the work associated with that, they felt that they wouldn't be able to accommodate the changes needed to their information systems with the staff that they currently have. If the committee were interested in delaying the implementation to January 1 of 2005, the department believes that they can build it into their work plan of normal changes to the information system and would not require additional funds. That's my understanding of the major fiscal impact change that would occur with the -A6s.
Okay.
There are a couple of other amendments. As my understanding, the -A5 would place a prohibition on harvesting krill, and the -A7s, it combined the -A6 amendments along with Scribner's definition change of the word vessel that was caught, I believe, in processing other amendments for the bill. And that, Mr. Chair, about exhausts my knowledge of House Bill 3108.
I have an A8.
Yes, then the A8, excuse me, Senator. The A8 combines the A5, the A6, and the A7. So that combines everything into one amendment if the committee were interested in working that at a later date. The other bill is House Bill 3534.
Oh, sure. See if we have any discussion of that. That's okay. We'll let you present 3534. Okay. And we'll go here. Representative?
Mr. Chair. This bill came about after the Department of Fish and Wildlife had adopted, I think on the 8th of November, basically a limited entry into the nearshore fishery. And there were some things that we added, I thought, to that bill that were good for the fishery, the fishermen themselves and the industry, the ability to sell their permit under certain circumstances after 5 years, so there's some value to the fishermen and the family. The fact that they might, under the old rule, presently lose their ability to renew a permit because of a late date, so we took care of that. And there were several people involved, Senator Dukes and others, in several meetings where we went through this bill and found out there were some things that were missed originally, and I want to compliment her for helping get us to where we were, because it was one of these things where she didn't exactly love it, I didn't exactly love it, but it's one of those things, sometimes you got to go there for the overall good. And specifically, and I think this is probably one of the better points, her -8s that had to do with the prohibiting the fishing of krill. The krill are the basic foundation of the food source in the ocean. Right now we don't have a fishery, so prohibiting anything doesn't take away anything from Oregon. And I think that foundation, what that is to the food source in the ocean, the fact that we have no research, no science to show us what that, how, and how that might affect the rest of our fisheries, I think is a great addition to the bill, and probably as important as the rest of the bill.
Any other comments? Paul, why don't you go ahead and present then House Bill 3534?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have at your place a packet, I believe, that has the fiscal impact statement and the staff measure summary for this bill. This bill comes as A engrossed. And you have a revised fiscal impact statement dated May 2nd of 2003. My understanding is the bill would change some of the membership of the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. And primarily the bill is here because of the change that would modify the staffing for OPAC by adding the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to share in the staff work with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. The bill also directs that if OPAC were to review a territorial sea plan and conduct an economic analysis of a marine reserve as recommended, my understanding is that ODF&W would be charged with conducting that investigation of establishing marine reserves. There's been some discussion of the staffing level that ODF&W would need to meet this new responsibility. I think that's still something that we can work through. DLCD does not believe that there's a large staff intensive work that goes into the primary functions of OPAC currently, and that the main impact, the fiscal impact, would be the work that ODF&W were to have to do if they were to investigate establishment of a limited marine reserve. And, again, you have a copy of the staff measure summary as it came over from the House Committee on Water.
I think what I'd like to do is ask Nan Evans and Kay Brown or anyone else from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, could you come up, both of you, and walk us through some of this?
Mr. Chair, can I make a comment while they're coming up?
Yes.
I still don't understand why this bill is in Ways and Means.
We've kind of wondered that too, but
it's the fiscal level doesn't rise to the level that we kind of. I mean, I assume that some presiding officer someplace had a staff person who decided that it needed to be here because that's generally how they get here, or the last committee thought it needed to be here.
Although Senator, in a while back, as I recall, in one of the Senate chairs meetings one noon, the leadership did discuss that some departments were getting like $20,000, $20,000, $20,000, and with the economic times we're in, that maybe it would be prudent if there's any kind of a fiscal at all to send it to Ways and Means. So
that's
well, I think there's some discretion there, but that wasn't mentioned.
Okay. I expected the other one. I didn't expect this one, so I was surprised.
I might be able to shed a little bit of light on this. As you see, you have before you a revised fiscal impact statement. The initial impact statement that our office issued showed the Department of Fish and Wildlife having expenses in 03-05 of about $110,000.
They didn't do it.
And that was based on the assumption that they would need a full position to do the work in the bill. And so that is, I believe, why the bill came down to Ways and Means.
Better do it, yeah.
Nana, could you, we've had conversations, and you've seen the fiscal write-up, no doubt. I just wanted to clarify and give you a chance to put on the record, because we did have discussions that the way you operate with the Marine Reserves or the OPAC right now is that you apply for federal funds, as I understand, when you have projects come in. And I just wanted it to be clear on the record, if I was understanding you right, that the Department of Fish and Wildlife, either they could apply for grants themselves or your department would apply for grants that would help fund it should we have an issue come up with OPAC. Am I accurate on that?
Yes, Chair Mesley, members of the committee, that is correct. In the past...
Give me an answer for the record.
For the record, yes. Nan Evans, Department of Land Conservation and Development. In the past, when OPAC has included members of each of the state agencies usually participated in the meetings and the work and was often staffed. I think in the new format where the state agencies are not full members of the committee, as things come up by the committee, I think the agencies the various agencies will respond to the work requirements. The question of ocean resource management and, as a subset of that, any kind of marine protected area or marine resource management, we can apply to NOAA to include funding to support elements of that work. I would anticipate that if OPAC were to look at the question of marine reserves, that then could be an element of our funding request to NOAA, and I would anticipate the high probability that, even though I learned today that my companion to the left is retiring, that we will be working with ODF&W to find ways to use the fund sources that are available to us to help do some of the work that they are well positioned to do.
Yeah. Questions of Nan? Dave, could you kind of summarize for us how it will fit with the Department of Fish and Wildlife as well?
Certainly, Chairman, as we, for the record, I'm Kay Brown with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we just today have been having some conversations, which we probably should have had some time ago, but had different understandings of what was involved. With Nan's assurances that there would be federal dollars available for our agency to be involved in conducting investigations of marine reserves, that probably would modify what the fiscal impact statement would be. We'd like to have a day or two to work through those numbers, make sure that we have a common understanding of what the work product is, and then come back to you with a revised fiscal impact. But I think we can probably work through that.
Where's our schedule here? We probably won't bring this up. The earliest would be the 27th of May, and I'm not sure the co-chairs are going to let us do it even that soon, but if you could get a letter or something to report back to us prior to our work session, we'd appreciate it.
Definitely do that.
Okay. Questions from committee? Thank you very much. Oh, excuse me.
After they get the letter to us, and that would then go to Paul, and then they would do a new
Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, I believe the fiscal impact statement that we issued as revised would likely serve to get the bill out of Ways and Means. I'm not sure that we would need to, because we didn't put the dollar amount at the top fixed anymore, because we, as we had discussions with the LCD and others, we were less sure that there would be a need for a full position, and that the work, our understanding is that the work would be maybe more intermittent than it would be definite ongoing, and it would be a project-by-project basis. And therefore, there's really no reason to have a permanent staff assigned to such work. You know, there may be some impact, and they may at some point need to come and get a limited duration position or some limitation to work on a project, which they could do through the emergency board. So, but we'd appreciate to get some revised fiscal impact statement from the department on what the fiscal impact would be for our files.
Yeah, the letter can be added into the record as well that we received from the report from the department. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to open this up for public comment again. And let's see, Liz Frankel, would you like to come up and testify?
Thank you very much, Liz Frankel. Whoops.
That's okay.
I was having a hard time hearing, so I was hoping everybody would hear me. And now I've screwed up the information system. Liz Frankel for the League of Women Voters. The League, and I will spare you the preamble, basically we have two concerns, and the first concern has to do with the composition of the Policy Advisory Committee. We feel that this is a statewide issue, and the state needs more representation. We're not here to tell you exactly how to do that, but we do not feel that a composition as it now stands, which is well over over three quarters, representing specifically people on the coast makes this a coastal issue as opposed to a statewide issue. The second concern we have, and incidentally, I want to say something, and that is, if you drive I-5, one of the commonest signs you see is ocean beaches. And they could be 60 miles away from I-5. But everybody thinks of the ocean beaches as part of Oregon, not just people who drive 101. Second concern has to do with, we noted that they're repealing ORS 196-475, which is consultation with state and interstate organizations. And this is somewhat troubling to us. And in an interesting way, it goes back to our concern about having the governor's appointments that are the non-elected officials, local officials, go through Senate confirmation. And we feel that somehow or other this is a politicizing process. We feel somewhat the same way when we're talking about repealing the consultation process, which really, it's hard for the fish to know whether they're in Oregon or California or Washington. And it's hard for some of the impacts to know exactly where they begin and the end. The political boundaries are not nearly as recognizable in the ocean as they are on land. Finally, we have a comment to make, which you can read, and it may well be resolved. But we do feel that this is what we would characterize as a core program in DLCD. We would like to maintain that, and while we would like to have whatever support is necessary through ODFW, our feeling is if there must be a delay in funding, that's where it should occur as opposed to at the DLCD level. This is a planning process. I will try to answer whatever questions you have.
Thank you. Do we have questions from the committee? Senator Dukes?
Chair, more, I guess, a question comment kind of combined. This is an advisory committee to the governor.
That's why we don't understand. Excuse me, Senator Dukes.
Does that change your perspective? This committee was never intended to be making decisions that became
final.
Yes, the good term. And it was to pass it. And I've served on other advisory committees where we pass the report along, and sometimes they go somewhere and sometimes they don't. But when they go somewhere, it's because a lot of other people got involved, and sort of the advisory committee starts the ball rolling. And I guess that's why I haven't shared a lot of your concerns, or they haven't been a big issue to me. Because, quite honestly, this is, although I think the issue, the subject issue is very important, it's one more advisory committee.
Chair Meslee, Senator Dukes, I too think the fact that it's an advisory committee is important, and I understand this, but I also know that the action will be focused on the matters concerning the coast. And the League first got involved in the coastal issues largely through the question of offshore potential for, well, actually, we were involved back when we were concerned about manganese nodules and all the other dreams we've had over the centuries, how we were going to profit. But there was the oil drilling was of great concern. Obviously, a lot of the basis for public information will be funneled through this advisory committee. It's our concern and our feeling that that should be more statewide. We are not saying fishermen shouldn't be there. We're not saying that county commissioners shouldn't be there. But we would be hoping for something more 50-50, something in that neighborhood, for that reason. Because there are other people who have really committed, and I there are league members throughout the state who are extremely concerned about how this is all managed. Does that help at all, Senator Dukes?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Any other questions? Yes, Representative Krieger?
During the meetings we had like something like 15 to 20 meetings, 25 meetings in my office and in a conference hall with the different groups proposing that. Nan Evans, Mike Carrier, Mr. Gaffori was there at one different times. And throughout the old bill, as we worked through it, the territorial CPAN, there was continued reference about coordination with different governments, coordination with different agencies. Basically, what they did is they took some of that out of there, pull it all together to state it once rather than three or four times. If you look at different parts of the bill, it's still in there. They took the shall and put may coordinate with different states and may do this. It gives them the same authority. It's pretty hard to give direction for agencies to do something when there's nothing in the funding mechanism for it to do it. And if it's the right thing to do, OPAC's going to recommend it to start with, I believe. So I think that concern about whether or not they're going to be working with different states, I think that's well addressed if you really look at the different sections of the bill. And as far as the makeup of OPAC, I always look and have and still and will. If I was to take a group of 25 people and go up to Portland Metro and say, because we've got 25 people here today, that we should have equal say to the things that go on in Metro, I'm quite sure I'd be laughed out of the room. The coastal people are the stakeholders. They're the ones that are going to be affected by the policies. And this is why we have to be so careful about the makeup of OPAC, the fact that it will be grassroots accepted at the local coastal level, that there's meaningful input. And maybe it has gone to where you think it is not acceptable as far as its makeup. But when it was the other way, absolutely, the coastal people were totally ignored. There was no outcry from anybody. There was no outcry when the coastal people were totally ignored, clear back from the time of the territorial sea. Now, Mr. Kafour made a good suggestion when we were talking about originally doing away with the territorial sea plan, and that was to have OPAC review it. And I think when we get done reviewing OPAC and the Oregon Ocean Policy Act, we take a look at the Magnuson-Stevenson thing, the new endangered species, the point source, non-point source, all those things that weren't in play at the time of the original territorial sea plan. I think that review is going to get us a product that comes out with the territorial sea plan that you will like, that we will like, that everybody's going to like a lot more. So I think that, I've told this many people, we're going to have marine reserves. If you want to have them accepted, you're going to have the grassroots support, and you're not going to get that if they don't have a meaningful input, and the old OPAC did not provide that.
Any other comments, questions?
May I respond?
Sure.
Just a simple response, and this is one personal response, and that is, Representative Krieger, Chair, I too feel I'm a stakeholder. That's a personal statement.
Thank you very much. I was negligent. Mr. Carrier, did you want to make any comments on the record from the Parks Department?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Next, I'd like to call Mr. Kafouri and Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Stephen Kafouri. I'm here representing the Audubon Society of Portland today. And I'd like to start off by thanking Representative Krieger for bringing the bill forward and for offering us the opportunity to be involved. We spent a lot of time with Representative Krieger and other interests in developing this bill. And there was an awful lot of give and take on both sides. And I think that the bill is before you today, is a much it's certainly more acceptable to us than it was when it first came out, and I think probably it's better from his point of view as well. We think that there is a really significant issue of people on the coast feeling that their interests are being represented in a significant manner, and that the goals that I think everybody in this room has in terms of what's going to happen on the coast eventually can only happen if there is buy-in from the people who live there. and we are very supportive of the concept of that bill, which attempts, and we think successfully attempts, to get that buy-in. We are concerned with the makeup of the OPAC. I do think the number of people from the coastal areas is more than we would like to see. What we'd like to ask, Mr. Chair, is that the bill be passed from this body and go to the Senate. We wanted to raise that issue there in the substantive committee where we think it's appropriate to raise that issue rather than in fiscal committee here. I think Senator Dukes raised an interesting question earlier, why is this bill before you? And I think for the amended fiscal, I don't know if there is any reason for it to be before you. I didn't want Taylor to respond to Senator Dukes' question, I think, though, about why it's important, although it's an advisory committee, why it's important what the makeup of that committee is.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Avalyn Taylor, and I'm with the Audubon Society of Portland, and I'd just like to reinforce what Mr. Kafouri said today about thanking Representative Krieger for his openness to working with all parties and groups to make this bill something that a number of different interests could support. And like Stephen said, we, for the most part, have supported all of the amendments that have been made, and we think that the bill has moved in a very positive direction in the House Water Committee. Secretary of State Bradbury actually testified on this bill before the Water Committee, and he gave some very interesting comments talking about the history of the OPAC, because he was in the legislature during the time that the original statute, ORS 196, was written, and talked about how before the OPAC existed, a number of agencies had interest in the territorial sea, the ocean area, from shore to 3 miles, but there was no real formal coordinating mechanism. And the agencies actually were the first ones to sit around at the table to talk about how can we coordinate all of our activities, state parks, ODFNW, GLCD, DOGAMI, all of the activities that go on in the territorial sea. And then they said, well, there's some very critical groups that also need to be at the table, which are the stakeholders, which they brought in and actually formed OPAC. But the fear is that if the group becomes too weighted toward a certain group of stakeholders, that the agencies will no longer feel that they have that critical input, too. So I think it's really important to try to find a balance that, you know, allows the agencies to feel like the stakeholders are having input and allows the stakeholders to feel ownership over what's going on. But I think that that is a little bit of history that sort of sheds light on the importance of having this kind of group. And I think it is a very unique and productive group that has accomplished a number of really significant things in the past. And we hope to for it to continue to do so in the future.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Dukes?
I should not be here for this hearing. I was actually not willing to buy into, I was willing to buy into some of your stuff, but Representative Krieger makes a good point. Forgive me here, but when it was all stacked the other way, it was okay?
Give it a list.
When it was just recently, how it is currently.
The way it currently is, yeah. And that was okay with you? But if we try to put some coastal people on there, that's not okay, and there's a couple extra of them, more than the others, that irritates me.
Well, I think that...
I realize your organization is headquartered in Portland, but we are still part of the state.
Right, and I think that we feel very strongly about having a number of coastal interests there. I think right now there are 16 non-agency members. There are 23 members total, and of those, 12 are required to be from the coast, and 4 can be from other areas but can also be from the coast as well. So currently, I think that there a lot of the issues that have arisen in the past have come from the fact that the agencies, a number of the agency representatives, weren't from the coast. So I think that by taking the agencies off as voting members, that nullifies a lot of that concern, because it would still be the 12 from the coast, required to be from the coast, and the 4 from non-coastal members, non-coastal areas.
Forgive me, Mr. Chair. I sit on so many committees. We're trying to get somebody from the coast on the committee. Is never even considered that we actually have one where somebody wants to put members of the coast on, and we're criticized because that's what we're doing. And I just, like I said, I was a whole lot closer with you before we went down this path.
I have to say, Senator, that We just got a new list of Senate appointees,
and this is a little bit off the subject, but I was the same feelings. Almost no appointments from the coastal area. I think there was maybe one or two of the whole slate of appointees. So I share your concerns.
Mr. Chair, if I could respond, I'm sorry that people have gotten into an unhappy situation. We certainly didn't want to make anybody feel that this is in any kind of way one part of the state versus another part of the state. I think the coastal area belongs to the whole state. There are obviously more impacts on people who live there than people who don't live there, and the people who live there obviously have more knowledge about certain issues than people who don't live there. The current OPAC has 12 coastal members and 4 non-coastal members. We think that the reason that it appears to be not weighted towards the coast is because you have state agency people. Those are taken off. The present bill has 13 coastal members and 2 non-coastal members. 13-2. We think that perhaps is a little bit overboard. What we're suggesting is 9 coastal members and 6 non-coastal members. That still would give a majority of the votes to people from the coast, and we think that's highly appropriate. We have no problem with that. We're not trying to say that the balance should be shifted. We're not trying to say it should be 50-50. We understand the need for having coastal experience and coastal stakeholders. But that's not our concern, and we certainly are not trying to pit anybody against anybody else.
Okay, thank you. Other remarks, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your input. If there's no further business, I think we will close the public hearing. Is there anything else to discuss? You all have got your list for next week. No meeting. We do have a meeting tomorrow because we have Luba. And then no meeting Friday and no meeting Monday. And stay tuned for Tuesday. You might have to. With that, we'll close the committee.